Prabowo Subianto inaugurated ministers and a number of agency heads and deputy agency heads at the State Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday. The President inaugurated Brian Yuliarto as Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology. Muhammad Yusuf Ateh as Head of the Financial and Development Supervisory Agency. Agustina Arumsari as Deputy Head of the Financial and Development Supervisory Agency. Sony Hari Budi Utomo Harmadi as Deputy Head of the Central Bureau of Statistics. And Nugroho Sulistyo Budi as Head of the National Cyber and Crypto Agency. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
The Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, has reopened the possibility of lowering the benchmark interest rate in 2025. However, the decision is still subject to the development of global economic condition. Ofra has the details.
The Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, Governor Peri Wirjoyo stated that there is still room to lower the central bank rate. However, the timing will depend on global dynamics. This was conveyed in the press conference of the Central Bank's board or governors meeting on Wednesday, 19 February 2025. Peri explains that Indonesia's low inflation is one of the factors that allows for further rate cuts. The move is also in line with the central bank's efforts to boost the country's economic growth.
Ketidakpastian global yang tetap tinggi ini terus memerlukan penguatan respon kebijakan yang terus ditingkatkan.
The still high global uncertainty continues to call for enhanced policy responses, which will further be improved to mitigate the impact of the spread, to maintain stability and promote domestic economic growth. Indonesia's economic growth remains good and needs to be further encouraged. In the fourth quarter of 2024, the growth was recorded at 5.02% year-on-year, an increase from 4.95% in the previous quarter, bringing full year 2024 growth to 5.03% year-on-year.
5% year-on-year pada triwulan sebelumnya. Sehingga secara keseluruhan tahun 2024 mencapai 5.03% year on year.
Furthermore, Peri explains that the Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, had previously cut its benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points to 5.75% in January 2025. The decision was taken in response to the downward revision of economic growth forecast. Meanwhile, the central bank continues to monitor the impact of the government's fiscal policy and the Astacita programs on economic growth.
The government guarantees food stocks ahead of Ramadan are more than enough. Dora Pardede has the details.
Food stocks ahead of the holy month of Ramadan 1448 Hijriah are more than sufficient. This was conveyed by the Indonesian Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman in a press conference after a limited coordination meeting in Jakarta Wednesday. Amran explained that the availability of rice in the logistic agency, Oder Bulog, is very high, reaching 2 million tons of rice. In the press conference, he also emphasized that food sales should not exceed the highest retail price.
When it comes to data protection, it is indeed a shared concern because the agency is not the only institution responsible for handling all aspects of data protection. It requires hard work and collective awareness because once again, when we talk about cyber and data, we're not only talking about systems and hardware, but also awareness.
Amran Sulaiman even revealed the government will act decisively to those who violate it by revoking the business license of those selling above the highest retail price. Amran further said that market operation will be held throughout Indonesia. He also promised that the price of cooking oil will be lower than that of last year. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The head of the National Cyber and Crypto Agency, BSSN, Nugroho Sulistyo Budi, stressed the importance of awareness and vigilance in the protection of personal data to prevent digital fraud. Pranav has the detail.
The head of the National Cyber and Crypto Agency, Nugroho Sulistyobudi, stressed the need for collective awareness to build vigilance in protecting personal data. Speaking at the press conference at the Stage Palace in the Jakarta on Wednesday, Nugroho explained that awareness and vigilance are crucial to prevent fraud attempts that exploit digital defense.
Terkait dengan perlindungan data memang itu menjadi
shared concern because the agency is not the only institution responsible for handling all aspects of data protection. It requires hard work and collective awareness because once again, when we talk about cyber and data, we're not only talking about systems and hardware, but also awareness.
Tapi juga awareness.
Nugroho emphasized that awareness and collusion can prevent various forms of digital fraud, such as phishing, where often they trick victims into revealing their personal information. He explained that such attack cannot be completely prevented by system or device alone, as they often rely on social engineering tactics that exploit a person's lack of awareness. He therefore urged journalists to play a role in increasing public awareness of the importance of being cautious when sharing personal data in digital space.
Revised law ending public controversy on giving mining concessions to universities. Rama Sitki Pratama has the details.
The revised Act on Coal and Minerals Mining was passed into law by the Indonesian House of Representatives, ending public controversy on giving mining concessions to universities. A House of Representatives from the centrist Golkar Party and member of the House's Legislation Board, Carmila Sari, on Wednesday, February 19th, said the House and the government agreed to annul the provision of mining concessions to universities, citing the public pressure. She said the universities only act as mining beneficiaries.
We see that there is controversy on one hand. It is considered not independent. And on the other hand, it also disrupts their focus in the field of education. Finally, we took a middle path where higher education is a beneficiary. If there are large universities that already have business ventures and they can collaborate with business entities, whether it be private or state-owned companies, they are welcome to do so in the form of joint company or cooperative.
The revised act was made on Tuesday, February 18th, during a House of Representatives plenary session. Some key highlights in the newly passed act include concessions and permits, domestic needs, downstream development, community involvement, and environmental audits. It allows social and religious organizations to manage mines. However, the universities can only manage mines through assignments by state-owned companies, in which campuses in need will be given research funds or scholarship assistance.
Professor at Bogor-based IPB University and Chairman of the Indonesian Nutrition and Food Experts Association said that consuming nutritious food is the key to success of the free nutritious meal program. Ranoff has the details.
Adequate nutrition play a critical role not only in maintaining good health, but also in supporting cognitive function, physical performance, and productivity. This was said by Professor Hardinsyah, a professor at Bogor Ardi Cultural University and chairman of the Indonesian Nutrition and Food Expert Association, during an interview on Morning Talk Voice of Indonesia on Thursday. He emphasized that adequate nutrition is a key prerequisite for building a healthier and more productive future generation in Indonesia.
Yeah, and nutrition is very important for, or is not only for health, but also for the cognitive function and physical and productivity of each of the people, yeah.
Mm.
So with the better nutrient intake, better nutritional status, people will have a good physical performance,
mm-hmm.
have a good cognitive performance and mental performance, and also have a better health. So it is a prerequisite if we would like to have a future better generation in Indonesia.
in supporting the free nutritious meal program. Bogor Ardi Cultural University has played an active role in developing a food provision model that not only alleviate hunger but also ensure a balanced diet. Professor Hardinshah revealed that the program has shown positive progress since its implementation began in January 2025.
The Indonesian martial arts Pencaksilat is currently rapidly developing in the world. The development of Pencaksilat is not only in the Southeast Asian region, but also in other countries in the ASEAN and European continents, and has even spread to the African and American continents. As stated by Edi Suhartono, Pencaksilat coach from East Java, when confirmed by RRI in Malang, East Java on Wednesday, he said that during the 20th World Pencaksilat Championship in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, December 18 to 22, 2024, Kenya won one silver medal. Meanwhile, the American continent was represented by United States, which participated in the championship.
Representatives from all Africa already have Kenya. There are two countries, one of which is Kenya. Not much talked about yet, but surprisingly, Kenya managed to win one silver medal. That's cool. Only the United States participated in the last championship. Our colleagues in the U.S. want to hold the All-American Pencaksilat Championship. One of the coaches wants to hold a championship there.
Pencaksilat martial arts began to be popular internationally when it was first competed in the 14 SEA Games in 1987 in Jakarta. Then it was also introduced at the ASEAN Games in Busan, South Korea in 2002. And in 2010 in Jakarta, Indonesia hosted the World Pencaksilat Championship. Recently, the World Pencaksilat Championship was held in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates on December 18 to 22, 2024 and was taken part by 1,100 participants from 57 countries. Listen, and now let's move on to commentary for today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's commentary is on President Prabowo Subianto reshuffles the red and white cabinet. President Prabowo Subianto's red and white cabinet barely reached 4 months old, yet he has already reshuffled it. The first reshuffle carried out by the president turned out to be faster than the first cabinet reshuffle carried out by his predecessor, Joko Widodo. The first reshuffle of the Joko Widodo's working cabinet was carried out around 10 months after he was inaugurated as president on October the 20th, 2014. President Prabowo Subianto reshuffled the composition of the red and white cabinet on Wednesday, February the 19th, by inaugurating 6 new officials, one of whom was Professor Brian Yuliarto, who was inaugurated as Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology, replacing Satrio Sumantri Brojonegoro. In addition, President Prabowo Subianto also inaugurated the head and deputy head of the Financial and Development Supervisory Agency, namely Muhammad Yusuf Ateh and Agustina Arumsari. Previously, Muhammad Yusuf Ateh served as acting head of the Financial and Development Supervisory Agency, while Agustina Arumsari was deputy head of the Financial and Development Supervisory Agency for Investigation. The president also inaugurated the head and deputy head of Central Statistics Agency, namely Amalia Adininggar Widyasanti and Sony Hari Budi Utomo Maharmadi. The first was previously acting head of the Central Statistics Agency, while the latter was a lecturer at the Faculty of Economics and Business, University of Indonesia. Meanwhile, Lieutenant General Nugroho Sulistyo Budi was appointed as head of the National Cyber and Crypto Agency. The newly inaugurated Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology, Professor Brian Yuliarto, is a professor at the Faculty of Industrial Technology, Bandung Institute of Technology, or ITB. His achievements include winning the Engineering Science Award at the 2024 Habibie Prize for Outstanding Talent. Throughout his career as an academic, Professor Yuliarto has also served as Dean of the Faculty of Industrial Technology, ITB, and visiting professor at the Tsukuba University, Japan. Professor Yuliarto is also involved in various research projects and collaborations with international institutions such as UC Berkeley in the United States, Korea University, and various research institutions in Japan. with the inauguration of Brian Yuliarto as Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology, it is hoped that Indonesia will be able to carry out superior research, create global collaboration, and build the future of science in Indonesia. Thus, it is hoped that the progress of the industrial world in Indonesia can be realized through various steps, from downstreaming to higher education, in order to form a quality generation towards Indonesia Emas or Golden Indonesia 2045. That was commentary today.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Saat ku jumpa dirinya di suatu suasana, terasa getaran dalam dada. Ku coba mendekatinya, ku tatap dirinya. Oh, dia sungguh mempesona. Ingin aku menyapanya, menyapa dirinya, bercanda tawa dengan dirinya. Namun apa yang ku rasa, aku tak kuasa, aku tak tahu harus berkata apa. Inikah cinta, oh inikah cinta, cinta pada jumpa pertama. Inikah rasanya cinta, oh inikah cinta, terasa bahagia. Berbeda, oh getaran itu masih ada. Aku dekati dirinya, ku tetap wajahnya. Oh dia tetap mempesona. Indah ku menyapanya, menyapa dirinya, bercanda tawa dengan dirinya. Namun apa yang ku rasa, aku tak kuasa.
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, President Prabowo Subianto officially inaugurated 961 regional leaders simultaneously at the Presidential Palace Jakarta on Thursday, following the 2024 local polls. The mask swearing-in ceremony involved 33 governors, 33 deputy governors, 363 district heads, 362 deputy district heads, 85 mayors, and 85 deputy mayors, marking a historical moment for Indonesia. And of course, this inauguration began with the singing of the Indonesian national anthem, Indonesia Raya, and followed by the reading of the Presidential and the Home Affairs Minister's decree on the inauguration of the regional leaders. This ceremony is actually the first ever that has been done in Indonesia, and is a very, very historical moment. And of course, and after the inauguration, the regional leaders are scheduled to participate in a retreat on February 21st to 28th at the Military Academy, Magelang, Central Java. And hopefully, all the leaders of Indonesia will be able to maintain a good relation between themselves and also the people of Indonesia, the one who they lead.
Voice of Indonesia.
And of course, well, listener, I'm still going to be here to give you more infos and also great music to listen. And I'll be right back with you after this two wonderful songs.
ceritakan tentang apapun aku mendengarkan. Jangan pernah kau merasa sendiri. Tengoklah aku yang tak pernah pergi. Bagiku kau tetap yang terbaik. Entah beratmu turun atau naik, kadang kau tak mengapa untuk tak baik-baik saja. Kita hanyalah manusia, wajar jika tak sempurna. Saat kau merasa guna, lihat hatimu percaya. Segala sesuatu yang pahit bisa diringankan dengan peluk. Kau berkata dunia terasa ramah. Ya bukan berarti kau mesti berubah jadi seseorang yang tak kau ingin, yang menatapmu asing dari cermin. Oh, bersyukur kau tetap yang terbaik. Entah beratmu turun atau naik, kadangkala tak mengapa untuk tak baik-baik saja. Kita hanyalah manusia, wajar jika tak sempurna. Saat kau merasa guna, biar hatimu percaya. Segala sesuatu yang pelik bisa diringankan dengan
Indonesia.
Today's Indonesian Wonder is featuring the beauty of Walanda Waterfall in Bandung, West Java. West Bandung has abundant natural tourism potential, and one of them is the Walanda Waterfall located in Gugunturan Citatah Village Cipatat Sub-District, West Bandung Regency. This waterfall is one of the leading tourist attractions in Cipatat. Walanda Waterfall has its own uniqueness because the water flows from a tunnel that is approximately 162 meters long and 8 to 10 meters high in diameter. The height of the Walanda waterfall is approximately 20 meters and flows into the Cirawa River, which continues to connect to the Cibeta River. The Walanda waterfall tunnel has existed since the Dutch colonial era, built around 1889 to supply water for steam trains at Cipatat Station. The name Walanda is thought to come from the word Belanda, which means Dutch in Bahasa Indonesia, which is related to the construction of the Bandung Cianjur railway line in the past. In addition to having a waterfall that is hundreds of years old, the view of the green rice fields and the Cirawa River is also full of the history of ancient Bandung. Several facilities that have been built, such as the Rainbow Bridge, which is located right in front of the Walanda waterfall, are also very suitable for photo spots. In addition to enjoying the scenery around the waterfall, you can also rest in the huts that have been provided. According to the manager of Suruk Walanda or Walanda Waterfall, this tourist attraction will also build a spot for indigenous West Jawa or Sundanese art performances and traditional Sundanese musical instruments such as the Tarawangsa musical instrument and Beluk performance. Tarawangsa is a stringed instrument that only has 2 to 3 strings. Meanwhile, Sundanese art Beluk is a form of Sundanese vocal art that relies on vocal strength without musical accompaniment. Beluk artists are able to create beautiful and complex melodies using only their voices. The sounds produced are usually high pitch and have distinctive curves. Walanda, Curug means waterfall, can easily be reached by car. From the center of Bandung to the location of Curug Walanda, it takes about 1.5 hours. And if you are from the city of Bandung, you can use the route towards Padalarang and then Citata. After parking your vehicle, you will have to walk about 20 minutes to the village road that passes the Bandung Cianjur Railway that is no longer operational. From the railway, it only takes 10 minutes to arrive at the location of Curug Walanda. If using a motorbike, visitors can go directly to the parking lot next to the waterfall. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Bye now.
Voice of Indonesia.
Mother tongue, language, is very important to preserve. What is it and what about in Indonesia with hundreds of local languages going around? Here is the opinion of Dora Amalia, the head of Center for Language and Preservation.
In a very general sense, mother tongue is someone's native language or the first language of someone. It is commonly the first language that is taught by parents to their children or a language that is used mostly in a family. In the broader sense, especially if we associate it with Indonesian linguistic perspective, the mother tongue is the regional language or local languages itself. Because in Indonesia, mother tongue in the most family is the regional language. So if we talk about the mother tongue here, we talk about the regional language. The trend is nowadays seem to be going the opposite. More and more family use Indonesian as their native language. So your mother tongue is Indonesian, of course.
Okay. So, yes. Yeah. Although apparently, ideally, my mother tongue should be Nias language, right?
putus pada hulu, karena belas hebat tak pernah lahir di laut yang terang. Hai kawan, teruslah kau berjuang. Kita semua boleh jatuh, tapi harus bangkit bagi tahun kembali. Kita semua boleh jatuh, tapi harus bangkit kembali. Semua boleh jatuh, tapi harus bangkit bagi tahu kembali. Kita semua boleh jatuh, tapi harus bangkit kembali.
Music Corner presents a traditional song from Central Sulawesi entitled Tope Tugu. The song Tope Tugu tells the story of the courage of the heroes and fighters in Palu, Central Sulawesi. The song is often played in various events in Central Sulawesi. Tope Tugu has also been performed several times abroad, such as at the 2017 Tong Tong Festival in the Netherlands, at the 2018 Asiatica Film Festival in Rome, Italy. Well, listener, here is the song Tope Tugu by Hajar Bleh Big Band featuring Zaro Ananda. Enjoy!
thank you very much for staying tuned at www.voinews.id and also RRE Digital. Nuka signing off and have a great day and always love Indonesia. Don't forget you can also contact us to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, our Instagram account at VOI_official, and also our email address, voilisteners@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you again next week. Have a great day. Love Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
これは Voice of Indonesia です。日本語で放送されている Voice of Indonesia は、インドネシアに関するニュース、情報、エンターテインメントだけでなく、さまざまな情報を提供します。周波数 332kHz および4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.id および RRE デジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したりアクセスしたりできます。Selamat malam, konbanwa. 今日、私、イーサンが1時間の日本語放送をお送りいたします。今日はニュース、インドネシアの音楽、それともいろいろなインドネシアの情報をお届けします。次はニュースをお伝えします。皆さん、引き続き周波数 332kHz や 4755kHz と foinews.id から Voice of Indonesia の放送をお聞きてください。それでは皆さんニュースです。それでは最初のニュースです。国家社会経済単一データの最終調整を間もなく完了することについてお伝えします。中央統計庁のアマリア・アディニンガル・ウィディアサンティ長官は、大統領指示2025年第4号に基づき、国家社会経済単一データの最終調整と更新を早急に進めると発表しました。この発表は2025年2月19日水曜日、ジャカルタの大統領宮殿で行われた中央統計庁長官就任式後の記者会見で述べられました。アマリア長官によると、国家社会経済単一データは政府機関や省庁が開発プログラムを実施し、政府支援を分配する際の唯一の
参照データとなる予定です。国家社会経済単一データは全てのデータを総合し、開発プログラムの対象が単一された基準に基づくことを目的としています。さらに、このデータは政府の支援プログラムにも活用されることになります。アマリア長官はまた、中央統計庁が国家社会経済単一データ更新作業において、複数の政府機関や省庁と協力すると述べました。この協力にも関与する機関には、経済担当調整省、社会省、内務省、財務省などが含まれます。それでは次のニュースです。文化大臣は文化の多様性はインドネシア国民のアイデンティティになり得ることについてお伝えします。ファドリゾン文化大臣はインドネシアの文化の多様性は国民のアイデンティティとして確立されるべきであり、国民がそれを深く理解することが重要だと強調しました。彼によれば、インドネシアの文化を再発見することは国家の基盤を強化し、さらにその豊かな文化を国際的なソフトパワーとして活用する手段となります。また、インドネシアは世界最高の文明の一つであり、古代の道具や壁画ごと豊かな文化遺産を有していると指摘しました。加えて、インドネシアの文化的貢献は世界平和の構築にも関与し、特に文化外交を通じて国際的な対話の促進に重要な役割を果たします。彼は、インドネシア国際研究学生協会、または、Indonesian Student Association for International Studies の41周年記念イベントにおいて、文化外交が平和構築において効果的な手段であることを強調し、このような議論の場を高く評価しました。それでは最後のニュースです。アイランガ大臣はインドネシア経済成長維持のための戦略を説明することです。